It's John Lund Unleashed. Shout out to Lund loyalists watching on YouTube, those watching on X, Instagram, Facebook, and JohnLundUnleashed.com and the Lund Lunatics, listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. Make sure to subscribe and like John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and keep those alerts on so you don't miss anything. Now here's Johnny.
Good Saturday morning to you. Thanks for joining us. Much appreciated. A ton to get to today. As always, the cycle never stops. Call it episode 110, and I got a lot of stuff for you. I'm kind of in a writing mode lately, so I got a bunch of stuff for you. Niners camp a couple weeks in. I wrote the Mike Pereira piece off the interview I did yesterday, and since the Papa news broke yesterday, we didn't get a properly talk about my conversation with Mike Pereira. So I'm going to do that a little bit today. So we got that. Plus, if you go to johnlundunleashed.com, like I said, I got about three new pieces up there on the blog. I'm back cranking pieces out on there too. So make sure that you check out everything Unleashed at johnlundunleashed.com. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We are on just YouTube today, John Lund Unleashed and X at John Lund Radio. So however you're watching, thank you very much. I'd love it if you'd head over to John Lund Unleashed and join the chat room. Please make sure that you are subscribed. Hit that like button so that the algorithm likes us and the community.
It's John Lund Unleashed. And then shout out to Lund loyalists like watching on YouTube. Okay. Those watching on X, Instagram.
Gotcha. Yeah, you already did your job. Thank you very much. Make sure that you're subscribed. Make sure that you have those alerts on too, because we're going to put out all sorts of stuff today. I got a bunch of things that I haven't even put out and more writing that I haven't put out, plus a couple other shorts I've got to do as well. So we'll get all those things out today. Make sure there's alerts on. Hit that like button before you get out of here today and make sure you are subscribed on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube so we can grow this fine community that we already have. If you're on X, I appreciate you stopping by. But if you'd head over to YouTube and do all those things that I just described, that would be outstanding as well. We got a lot of things going on today. We'll review the Giants, old faces in new places, a couple of different things. Camilla Duvall and Mike Yastrzemski couldn't have been more different. Got a great caboose for you today. I got to acknowledge my old friend, a ton of things to do. So good morning to everyone, and I hope everybody is having a great weekend as well, as we are early in the weekend. If you're watching on the East Coast, 10:30 Pacific, 1:30 on the East Coast, Midwest, what are we, 12:30, 11:30, whatever, Mountain Time, whatever, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, I want to do roll call in just a second. If you're just wondering what the roll call is, these are all the people in the chat room that hang out with us every single day, and we'd love for you to be a part of it as well. John was in early this morning. Good morning, my good friend John. Val is here today. Francis, good morning. Jay in 22. I think that you've been in here before, right, Jay? Pretty sure. If not, welcome, Jay, to the program and to the chat and to the community. DC, good morning. Enrique. And, oh, look at this. I didn't even see these people down here. Hello, Kenny, my good friend. You got to be in a good mood today. Giants win. Robbie Ray was great. Taylor, good morning to you. Ah, this is our good friends, East Gold, Red, and Gold podcast. And I know you did a podcast, I think it was last week, but these are good friends of mine. And hopefully, as you were hitting me up too, me and Damon and Larry can all jump on your pod. You guys do an awesome job, and it is our pleasure to jump on with you. You guys got to be following East Coast, Red, and Gold podcast. Christopher, good morning to you, my friend. Tez, what's up, Tez? Good to see you, my friend. Very nice to see you this morning. Jake is here. Everybody's jumping in. Keeping the faith. Very nice. Happy Saturday to you as well. I think we're caught up on everybody. So tons of stuff to get to. Fun videos. Great caboose today. Please stay for that. And like I said in the here, I'll do some Giants, but right here, as I said, what I think I know 2 weeks into 49ers camp. We'll get to that too. If you look at the chalkboard there, that's the order in which we will do things today. I'll hit Papa up real quick because we did it at the end of the show. Ray was great yesterday. New places, as I said, what I think 2 weeks into camp. I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. Daily reports on the 49ers, greatly overrated, but everything together, I think a couple of weeks now, we have a big enough sample size to actually have an opinion on things. We'll do that today. So we'll do offense, defense, kicking. Guys aren't getting traded. This is just part of the process. I'll explain that, but we still fall for it every single time. Caboose Pistol is great today. And I did an announcement yesterday, but if you weren't here, I will do it again. And it's not a reason to be scared that the show's going anywhere, because it's not. So we're going to keep cranking out great stuff every single day. Good morning to Scott, who just jumped into the room as well. Good morning to everybody. All right, let's start here. I did this at the end of the show, but the timing of it was kind of weird because they made an announcement on the radio and then everybody sent out announcements and everything like that. But if you didn't know, the voice of the 49ers and one of my best friends that we did a show together on both the local sports radio stations in the Bay Area together for about 15 years. And we just became very, very, very close friends, covered 10 or 12 Super Bowls together, went out a lot of times, had many, many good times. And when I moved to the Bay Area 15 years ago, I owe a lot to him because everybody knew him and I kind of rode his coattails and everybody then got to know me and it ended up being a great relationship for me, both personally and professionally. So as you can see right there, the 49ers family extends our unwavering love and support to Greg Popp and his family following his recent cancer diagnosis. We wish him a speedy recovery and look forward to welcoming him back to the radio booth as the voice of the 49ers whenever he is ready. I'm not going to give out too much information on this. All that I know is that I know Greg hasn't been himself for a while. A lot of people were speculating down at camp and fans and things like that. Well, he's just on vacation. Well, Greg takes two vacations a year. He takes one over the NBA All-Star break, an extended one, and he takes one in July every year. But if you know Greg at all, and like I said, I worked with him on the radio, and so I know his schedule as well as anybody, he came back the day training camp started every single year that I knew him. And I met him when he was the voice of the Raiders. We started doing games. He wouldn't miss training camp unless it was extreme circumstances. And this is. So everyone was like, well, he's still on vacation. I'm like, no. He's not still on vacation because he doesn't miss training camp. He's down there as much as he possibly can. And not only is he the play-by-play voice of the 49ers, he looks at himself as a conduit to the fans. He loves being part of the 49ers, just like he loved being part of the Raiders. And he takes it upon himself to be an extended arm of the organization. It's very important to him to not only just to call the games, which is a big part of it for fans, but also to represent the organization. He's very proud to be representing the organization. And so he doesn't take those responsibilities lightly. And he doesn't just show up on Sundays. He works 7 days a week during the fall and in the OTAs and everything else to be that person both on and off the field for the organization. He feels a massive responsibility for both. So for him not to be here at this time of the year means that, yeah, it's a big deal. So I was aware of his situation. I just didn't know when they were going to announce something. And so yesterday when we were running the Mike Pereira interview, which I'm proud of, that happened. And so it was kind of an odd situation. We talked about it a little bit. Like I said, I'm not going to divulge anything that Greg doesn't want out there. So I'm not going to talk anything about that. All I know is the man himself, who I've known and worked personally with a lot of hours for the last 15 years, more than I did with my family in waking hours, you know, talking before the show, after the show, texting back and forth during games, doing the 4 hours every single day, working with him on Sundays in the booth. I did pre-half and post-game. Obviously, he's one of the best to do it. As far as play-by-play is concerned. So we grew close. And so, yeah, it's a tough situation. But I know Greg, and I told you this yesterday. He texted me and said, I'll be okay. So that's all I know, and that's all I'm going to divulge, and that's how I'm going to take it. He's a hell of a fighter, and I expect him to be back in the booth. I don't know when. I don't have a timetable. And like I said, he's a very private person. So he's that statement that he released both on KNBR and what the Niners released is all you're going to hear from Greg until he's ready to come back. And I hope it's sooner rather than later. But outside of that, I don't know anything. But I just know this. He's a great dude. If you ever met him, he honestly is the shirt off the back kind of a guy. We joked a lot of times that he would bring out the red, credit card. And I mean, he's buying drinks for the whole bar. He's buying dinner for everybody. You can't get your credit card out of the wallet, even if you wanted to buy a drink or a dinner for Greg. I mean, that's just how he is. He's just one of the most generous, great, wears it on his sleeve kind of person. If you ever listened to or watched our show, when things would get to him, he would cry. When Al Davis died, I don't know if you remember it, but they put him right on the air on NBC Sports Bay Area in that morning, and he sobbed like a baby. I mean, he wears everything on his sleeve, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. We got in plenty of fights, yelling and screaming at each other early on in our relationship when we didn't agree on things. But he's just a passionate kind of guy. So, anyway, all the best goes out to him. That's all I'm going to say. I don't feel a need to to go on social media and tell everybody, you know, that I wish him well. I wished him well myself. And I, you know, I don't wish to, like I say anything beyond what I'm going to say today, because it's his fight. It's his battle. It's private. I know Greg, and he's going to want to keep it that way. Some people are public in their fight. He's a private person, and I doubt that he's going to say anything other than what, like I said, he said in the statement released by KNBR yesterday. So have him in your prayers. He's one of the good ones. If you never met him, hopefully I'm just kind of relaying some things that he's just one of the best. And I owe a lot to him, and he's a great guy. And I know he's going to fight this thing like hell, and I know he's going to come out of it, win it, and be right back in the booth as soon as he possibly can. So anyway, that's the only thing I have to say about Pop. It's just one of the things I wanted to lead the show with, because I didn't think I gave it its propers yesterday, because it was kind of at the end of the show when we, you know, we kind of were doing other things and we had Mike Pereira on, and I did acknowledge it. But like I said, I had known about it. I just didn't know when they were going to release a statement about it. A lot of people were texting me and asking me. And like I said, it's not my place to talk for Greg. I can just tell you what a great guy he is, how he's going to fight. And I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to be back fine and back in that booth, giving you the touchdown San Francisco, as only he can do it. So prayers up for Pop, man. He's one of the good ones. That's all I'm going to say. He's just one of the good ones. So all prayers up for Pop. And hopefully all this is put behind him as quick as possible. So there's that. All right, let's get on to some sports today. Robbie Ray was great last night. A lot of people were hitting me up going, ha ha, Lund, that's why you keep Robbie Ray. And I thought to myself, no, that stat line right there is why you trade Robbie Ray. Remember, I don't mean to be callous about this, but players are stocks. And if you know anything about the market, what do you do when they're high? You trade them. And Robbie Ray is great. He's got one more year left on his contract, by the way, probably not his best picture. But look, Robbie Ray was great last night. There's no denying it. And they end up getting the win over the Mets last night. Did not see Tyler Rogers, although he was warming up. And just to kind of give you, you know, it was your typical nail-biting Giants game last night, in which they went something like, I don't know, what was it, 2-for-13 or something with runners in scoring position? Let me go down to that. 3-for-14. I stand corrected. 3-for-14 with runners in scoring position. Bullpen gets it done. I just don't like Lucchesi. But Robbie Ray was great through 7. Former Met right there. Walker gets it done. And Randy Rodriguez, he was ready for the closer's role. That's one of the reasons they could let Duvall go. 1.17 ERA, and the guy was just nails at the end as they win in 10 against the Mets. So they get it done. It's a win. It's nice. It's all those kind of things. But I look at it differently from the people who were hitting me up. And again, look, I can admit when I'm wrong, but Robbie Ray was great. Robbie Ray was great last night. What could you have gotten for Robbie Ray? So again, it takes two to tango. I understand that. We went over this yesterday. I think it's, you know, I think it's great that they traded who they traded, but the reality is they probably didn't go too, they didn't go far enough. I would have traded Robbie Ray. I would have signed a number two starter in the offseason. I would have, you know, your minor league system is barren. We've talked about that quite a bit. They did get some upper minors, both in the Mets and the Yankees trade. I expect probably all three players, or three of the players that they got in the Mets deal and one of the players that they got in the Yankees deal, to be in the majors at some point this year. And they needed to fortify their upper minors, and that's what they did. But I think Ray would have even done more of that. I don't think it. I know it. So that would have been nice. But Robbie Ray was great, and that's all fine and good. But you can sign a number two starter in the offseason. But give Ray his credit. He pitched great last night amidst all of the trade rumor talk. So he was great last night. The thing that was kind of interesting last night about everything that was discussed, I thought it was kind of funny, is new faces. Let's see. Old faces, new places. Old faces, new places. Let's start out with Camilo Duvall. And not all of this was his fault, but this is the Marlins broadcast and didn't go so well for the Yankees, who at one point had a huge lead. And then new Yankee, Camilo Duvall, number 75.
Away from first. Ground ball through the right side. That's a base hit. Here comes Senoja. Marcy on his way to third. The ball gets by. The ball gets by. The Marlins have tied it. Edwards will stop it third.
Or you can do just that.
Oh, my God. What are we watching?
Not Duvall's fault. He's on the mound there. Not his fault, because the right fielder, who, by the way, they just acquired from Tampa Bay, let that ball go under his glove, and on the next very next pitch, it was just a dribbler out in front of home plate, but the catcher jumped out to get it, and the it was only one out, and there was a player coming from third, and they lost the game, and Duvall gets the loss, and not his fault, but Camilo Duvall was on the mound when everything imploded for the Yankees, so they lose. So there is one new old face in a new place, and Mike Yastrzemski quite the opposite.
And Yastrzemski hits it to deep right field and gone in his first Royals at bat. Way to go, J.J. Piccolo. That run and home run is yours.
Rex Hudler. Remember Rex Hudler? Anyway, he gets a home run in his first at bat as a Kansas City Royal. And if the pitcher looked familiar, that was former Giant Kevin Gausman. So Yaz gets a home run in his first at bat. Duvall gets the loss in the Yankees and a big comeback loss against the Marlins. Tyler Rogers did warm up for the Mets, but he didn't get in a game. And so that's what happened with old faces in new places. It was quick, man. Dudes were right away in games, and that's what happened. I feel bad for Duvall, though, because he didn't get a lot of help, as you saw right there. So that is right there, as it says, new places up on the board. Duvall, not so good. And the thing is, you know what these guys are going to find out really quick, and you know this, and when Pablo went to the Red Sox, he realized this, that, we're pretty tolerant here. I mean, we might get on you a little bit or something like that, but for the most part, we're encouraging in the crowd. If you're sucking, we want you to, get things going. Like if Willie Adames was on the East Coast with the Yankees or the Phillies or the Red Sox or something like that, they'd have booed him out of town and his confidence would have waned. Around here, we're grumbling a little bit, but it's like, come on, man. And then, he kind of, snaps out of it. And whether that has something to do with it or not, I don't know. But it's just harder to play on the East Coast, man. And so Camilo Duvall, in the minds of Yankees fans, he sucks. And it's going to be a lot harder to get out of it. And Camilo Duvall had some mental issues here in the Bay Area. And it's just a lot harder, man, because they just don't – it's just different, man. And I've told you this story before. I remember I was – watching a game, I went to see some friends. I was on business back east, and I went to see some friends, and we went to a Phillies game, and this is, a number of years ago, and Jimmy Rollins is at the plate, and Rollins at the, Oakland zone, and I think he actually was put into the Phillies Hall of Fame a couple of days ago, but anyway, Rollins had like three hits on the night. They're down like 5-4 in the ninth, and he rolls one over, hits it to second, he's out, and the Phillies lose the game, and people are booing him. And it's like he went like 3-for-4 in the night with a couple of doubles or something. He scored a couple of runs. I'm like, he grounded out to end the game. Like, I get it, but he had three hits. They wouldn't even been in the game without him. And my friend turned to me and he goes, man, you don't get it, bro. That's just how it is here, man. You could have three hits. You ground out to end the game. That's it. Like, game's over. They don't care. They don't care they don't care what you used to do, or they don't even care what you did last at bat. So, I mean, it's just a lot harder. Red Sox, Yankees, East Coast, that kind of stuff. It's just, It's more life and death. Like, we go home and we're like, yeah, the ball blew it. That sucks. And then, we get over it in a day and, whatever. But it's just a different ball game. So, Duvall, if he had issues here, I guess is my point. If he had issues here and was struggling mentally when he wasn't pitching well, it's not going to be a great place for him in New York. And sometimes teams don't think about that, because it's certainly not a physical issue with Camilo Duvall. It gets into his head sometimes. And that's not a great place to be, New York, and especially the Yankees with that type of pressure. And that was on the road. That game was in Miami. So wait till he gets home. If he blows something like that, they are going to go bananas. So anyway, that's what's going on as far as the Giants. That's what's going on as far as old faces, new places. Yaz good, Duvall, not so much. So there you go. So that's your baseball stuff that's going on right now. All right. Let's get to some Niners stuff, because I'm going to pull back the curtain here. What I think I know 2 weeks. Let me do this first. Anything else on baseball? Let me make sure that nobody else has any questions, comments, thoughts on baseball. And then let me move to Niners camp. So any thoughts, and good morning to everyone. Have I not said good morning? Oh, Pine. Did I say hi to Pine? Val, did I say hi to you this morning? Kyle, good morning. Anybody else? Papa J. I think I might've said hi to you this morning, but I'm not sure. So there you go. All right, let's flip over to this whole thing and do a little bit of Niners talk. So again, what I think I know 2 weeks into 49ers camp. Now, let me show you one thing before we get into this conversation, because I do have a whole piece up there that I would like you to look at JohnLundUnleashed.com. So here you go right here. Oh, that's, I'm editing it still, apparently, but it is up. So again, what I, man, that's the wrong one. Hold on a second. That was my edited version of it. You got behind the scenes there. Let me see if I can find a real version of that, but it's up there regardless. It's up there and it's a non, I guess not. Yeah, I have it up there. But anyway, there's a piece up there. What I think I know. Yeah, here it is right here, I think. Yeah, there it is. What I think I know 2 weeks into 49ers training camp, and there's a little bit of that. And then it's, you know, the injury bug, rookies turning heads on defense. Stars are still the stars. Veterans stepping up or needing to. Secondary struggle, safety concerns, kicking. I know, big picture, blah, blah, blah. So there is your what I think I know. Now, the reason I did this, and that's at johnlundunleashed.com. The reason I did this piece or wrote this piece and want to talk about it today is that, and I wrote this at the beginning of the piece. I want to, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit on you. So what we do in training camp is we go down there. They let us on the field, whether just as they're finishing up stretching. And then they have these different periods, and you see a big kind of a scoreboard clock in the corner there. And every time a big horn, and they go to a new place, you know, they start new drills or whatever like that. And there's 9 or 10 of those type of things. And they work in drills. And for about half of that time, we can use our phones or, you know, you got professional cameras, TV people, all sorts of people out there. Maybe there's media member wise, I don't know, 50 or 60 media members out there doing different things from TV stations, radio stations, beat reporters, writers, social media people, Niners, you know, they got Niners people out there with their cameras. They can shoot anytime. And then you got a far end zone with like season ticket holders who get, you know, tickets to training camp and they're in like a far end zone. And then there's two or three really large foot. They've changed them this year. It's actually two large 100-yard football fields that are right next to each other. So that's kind of what you're dealing with. And we're all kind of walking around the sidelines, being careful not to get in the way of everything. And we're observing things and we're doing cameras. And then they're like, okay, shut them off. So the stuff that I send you back, you know, they're just doing drills. Once they start hitting 11 on 11, which means they're working on offense and defense, they don't want other team. They don't want that kind of video to be floating out there. So they don't want you shooting that. So that's it, because they're working on plays and all that sort of stuff. You can tweet things out and say things and what I think, this, this, that, and the other. They don't really want you to be talking about injuries or when a guy limps off, or you can say that. But anyway, they don't want you to get too deep into those kind of things. But what we're essentially doing out there is we're looking for a big play of the day, a great defensive play, we're constantly just noting things. But what that really is just to satisfy the hunger of the fans. So it's social media, it's pictures, it's video. We're sending it all back. And then each day it becomes kind of redundant. This guy had a good day. That had a guy had a good day. Maybe a guy had a sack. Maybe a guy had a tip ball. Maybe a guy had an interception. It didn't mean he was maybe in the right place at the right time. Maybe somebody caught a deep ball. And then all of a sudden that's it. Day by day by day by day by day. But in and of itself, those individual days, yeah, it's nice that a guy made a play, but it doesn't mean he's having a great camp. But if, as Clay Kubiak says, and you learned this phrase the other day, stacking days. So that's what it matters. So like 2 weeks now, we've got 2 weeks of information. And if the same guy or guys are doing this every single day, being great every single day, like a Bosa is, like a Kittle is, like a CMC is, we don't really even talk about that, because it's like, we know that. That's already in the bank, right? And I put that in the piece. Like Kittle's Kittle, Warner's Warner. You know, Nick Bosa's dominating. Trent Williams is great. You know, CMC, the big thing is he's healthy. I'm telling you, if you have a fantasy football draft and you don't take him in the top five, you're crazy. I'm not saying you're taking him over Saquon Barkley, but don't you dare sleep on Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be Christian McCaffrey this year. So, you know, those guys we don't often really talk about, because they're just having the camp that they're going to have. If I had something to say about Nick Bosa, it would be, he's probably pissed that he's number 57 on the top 100 list. And I think that now he may have some help on the defensive line, especially when Bryce Huff comes into the game. I think that he's going to have a monster year. I think that Brock Purdy, if they can field some receivers, is going to have a much better year than he did a year ago, et cetera, et cetera. But let me stay on the chalkboard here. So the first thing is, and I tell you this all the time, all this information and all this social media stuff and all these little videos that we all take and all this, you know, overreaction on day-to-day plays that are made, and oh, he got an interception, and that would have been a pick six, and he would have sacked this guy, and whoa, whoa, this guy, that young guy, this and that. It's all about injuries. There's two things that matter in training camp: stacking days, so day after day after day, consistent good work. That's number two. And number one is don't get hurt, because you're going to get hurt during the season anyway. You don't want to have training camp injuries. So with the 49ers, they were already thin at wide receiver. Jacob Cowing goes down. Now, he's supposedly going to be back during Raiders joint practices, and that's the week of August 16th. After that, you'll have about 3 weeks to get ready for the opener at Seattle. So I think Jacob Cowing's going to be fine if he's back in time, but he's still got a lot to prove. He didn't have an outstanding rookie season, and they're going to use him, even though he's a different kind of a player, jet sweep-wise, you know, to replace Debo and some of those things, because he's got that kind of speed. They like to get him the ball in open space. He could be a punt or a kick returner. So he's a fairly important guy, especially given the injuries. But the biggest one right now is Juwan Jennings, who went from kind of a minor deal with the contract to he's on the field the first day. All right, very cool. And now all of a sudden there's a calf injury that's a holdover from OTAs. And you know this as well as I do, but I'm going to remind you of this. When there's mystery around an injury like there is this one, that's when you get scared about a player. That's when you get concerned, because now there's no timetable for John Jennings' return. Nobody's really talking about it. Kyle's really short when he's asked about it. That's when the alarms start going off in your head. So there's no Juwan Jennings. They don't know when he's going to come back. This is a holdover injury. Calves sometimes equal Achilles. So the whole thing is not good. And that was already knowing that Brandon Ayuk is probably going to be on the PUP list and miss the first four games of the year. That's knowing that DeMarcus Robinson, who's been the most consistent wide receiver in camp, former Chief, former Ram, is going to miss probably the first two games because of the DUI. That's knowing that Ricky Pearsall, who, like, when he's out there, Pearsall has looked great. And I played a couple of cuts. Pearsall, when he's out there, man, he looks fast. His cuts, he's at a different level, really, in his route running ability, his hands, his body control. The dude is like, you know, it'd just be a shame if he didn't live up to what his physical gifts show you because of injuries. And, you know, look, the shooting was not his fault. The hamstring last year, he's had a hamstring this year, but he's out there in all the drills, like I'm telling you about when we're able to shoot and everything. He's out there in all the drills, but then they're kind of limiting him when it's the 11 on 11 work that we can't tape, which is, you know, installing offense. It's ones versus ones, twos versus twos. It's everybody on the field. And he's made some plays there. He made a nice play over the middle that showed his quickness and route running ability on a quick in route last week that I was really impressed with. But they're limiting him in his time. And so if you look at the wide receiver room, Ayuk's probably out the first four games. Jennings is a mystery. Cowing is out. Pearsall, they're taking along slowly. And I think Brock's going to have a better year because Christian McCaffrey's back and he's got Kittle, and I think the line's going to be good. And I don't love Brendel, but okay. But, you know, they're going to be okay. They're going to be enough. But now all of a sudden, who's going to throw to? Well, there's a couple of different guys. And I said this, you know, everybody's kind of jumping on this bandwagon now, but we're all excited about Jordan Watkins, the rookie out of Ole Miss that ran a 4.3 at the Combine. Everyone was excited in shorts. And then he kind of got, in my opinion, off to a slow start in camp. But then one of the days I went out there and I just focused on him. Of course, you know, my affinity, my love for the defensive line. So, of course, after I was looking all at the defensive line and tape, you know, doing all that with my phone on 11 on 11s, all I did was look at Jordan Watkins for probably the first, I don't know, 10 or 12, 15 plays that he was in there. And he has this great jab step. It's, you know, he's not overly physical yet, but, you know, so he's not going to be like if somebody jams him at the line, but it's like, try to get a hold of Jordan Watkins because he's got this nice jab step out in, and then he cuts across the field. And I've told you this before. It's like a Kansas City quick slant across the middle. And if you think a linebacker or a nickel is going to stay with Jordan Watkins, I got news for you. They're not. So that's a quick 4 or 5 yards that he can get every single time. And then as far as the deep ball is concerned, he looks like he can be maybe that speed piece that they tried to get with Danny Gray and they've tried over the last number of years with Kyle and they just haven't been able to get it. Maybe he's that piece because he's able to get deep and you've seen some of Brock's deep throws in camp, which is nice. So I like what's going on with Watkins. And then Russell Gage is a veteran. You can tell that because he's wearing a number in the 80s and none of the young kids do that. He wears 84 and he's made some nice plays in camp. He was with Tampa. He was with Atlanta. I wouldn't be surprised at all in weeks one and two, especially until DeMarcus Robinson comes back early in the season, that he would be a key player for the 49ers. And even though you would look at it and think that's not really sexy, Well, they've got some veterans on this team that we forget about because we become so infatuated with younger players and who's going to be the next big thing that we forget that a guy like Isaiah Hodgins or a guy like Russell Gage have been there before. And Kyle Shanahan likes guys that he can count on and trust. You know, we think about Steve Kerr all the time and Jonathan Kuminga, and, you know, he doesn't trust him. Well, in football, you better be where you're supposed to be, because if you're not, it's going to be an interception for the other team. Brock Purdy is an anticipatory thrower. So he's thinking 1, 2, 3, this is where you're supposed to be. And if you're not, then that's a problem. Well, Gage is going to be there. Hodgins is probably going to be there. I don't know if Watkins is going to be there. I don't know if Cowing is going to be there. But so it wouldn't surprise me that if, as much as we talk about young receivers and who could step up among the younger guys, and there's a lot of them in camp, that he would go with veteran players if possible. I hope it's Pearsall. I hope Jennings is back in time. But if not, Gage, Hodgins, and maybe somebody who's not even on the roster right now could be those players that Kyle trusts more than guys who are actually in camp. But Watkins is a guy that has flashed time and time again. And that's what I mean about there's the daily, and now we've got a couple of weeks to look at maybe a big picture. And guys who you're seeing it every single day, that's when you get excited about somebody. So offensively, the major issue is wide receiver. Who are they going to field it in, especially in the first couple of weeks of the year? Brock Purdy is always a big conversation. He's looked great. You know, he's not going to play a ton in the preseason, but he's looked great. He looks like he's added a deep ball to his repertoire, and it seems like every single day he's hit about 4 or 5 of them in the 11-on-11s, and that's in addition to a couple of that he hit with Kittle on short ones that went the distance because Kittle just kept running. But I'm saying, you know, 50 yards, 40, 50 yards in the air, and he's hitting guys right in stride. And you can look at it two ways. Either, hey, Brock's got a deep ball. He's added a deep ball to everything. That's awesome. Or, hey, these DBs suck. It's one of the two, because if he was throwing against another team, it'd be different. So anyway, Brock has looked really good. Brock is Brock. He's moving well in the pocket. You can tell that he worked on different arm angles and ways that he was going to get rid of the football in the offseason. He said in press conferences that was something that he worked on. He's showing it in camp. I think Brock is going to be back to what he was the first couple of years, and even better than he was last year, when I think he tried to just put too much on his shoulders with all the injuries. He's not that kind of a guy. If he plays it himself, within himself, I think he's going to be fine, and I think Brock Purdy understands that. You get CMC back. To me, everybody who's asking questions about Brock, or about CMC's health, don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, he's 28. He keeps himself in impeccable shape. And the only difference I see at all with McCaffrey is maybe, just maybe, although Kyle says it, and then he's so good, he just can't help himself. He keeps him in there. I like Garendo. I think he can take some of the load off. Jordan James has a knee injury. We don't know how extensive it is. He looked great busting through holes, and I've told you this, at 5'8", 5'9". He's built. He's not small. He's short, and he gets through the hole. He's caught the ball well out of the backfield day after day, and now he's got a knee injury. So they brought in Amir Abdullah, who's, you know, he played with the Lions, played with the Raiders. He's a veteran guy, and I was wondering why they brought him in, because I thought the three backs are set. And they might even have a couple other guys in camp that might be able to be on the practice squad that look like they're your typical, hey, the Niners found somebody. And they brought in a number of backs, including Jeff Wilson Jr., but they didn't sign him. They signed Abdullah. So it might be something with Jordan James here, because they brought in Abdullah, and I was a little bit like, why are they bringing him in? And then you hear about James' knee injury, and we're not sure what that is. So again, the injury bug for the 49ers is a thing. As far as the offensive line is concerned, anything that you hear about Trent Williams, you know, like I saw where people were writing about Trent Williams and maybe he was off to a slow start or something like that. Trent doesn't even like training camp. I've seen Bryce Huff blow right by Trent Williams in 11-on-11s, and I didn't even write it down. And the reason I didn't was because Trent's just working his work. That's all he's doing. He's not like these rookies who are like, trying to make a team or trying to start, and they're going 110 miles per hour. Trent's kind of on cruise control right now, and he knows how to get through a training camp. So anything that you hear about Trent, like, you know, Bosa beat him and this guy beat him, who cares? It really means nothing whatsoever. And I know he's 37, and so he could slow down at some point, but he's not. He's fine. And anything you hear from camp, like I said, this is why what I mean by the day-by-day stuff. Uh-oh, Trent's not as good. Yeah, whatever. He's fine. He's pacing himself. He's not a rookie. He doesn't need to go 110 miles an hour, and he's not. He's kind of like, okay. I mean, I literally saw Bryce Huff one time before Trent hardly got it out of his stance one time on 11 on 11s. And I just kind of went, eh. Like, it wasn't even a big deal. And then everybody else is scrambling, you know, next to me. And I'm like, it's nothing. It's nothing whatsoever. So that's the offensive side of things. Defensively, this is where the fun is. I've told you about this. The defensive line has me pretty excited. Three of the four guys along the defensive line could be starters that are rookies. Robert Saleh said during this camp that 6 to 8 rookies could start. Now, what that tells you is, before we get into the position battles defensively, what that tells you is they're going to get off to a slow start defensively. Can I just tell you that so that you don't freak out on a Sunday? Because week one in Seattle, Seattle scores some points, and it's going to put a ton of pressure on the offense early in the year. And I think this offense, which, by the way, do you realize that the Niners scored 22.9 points per game last year, which was 10th? That's not good. This is a team that needs to score 27, 28 points. They need to be a top five scoring offense so that they can support this defense early in the season. That is critical to their success this year. They can't average 22.9 and be 10th in scoring. They were tied with Atlanta for 10th in scoring last year. That can't be the case. They got to add a touchdown onto that this year. And they will. McCaffrey, and like I said, they'll get the receivers back. I think they're going to be fine. So they need to do that first and foremost. But defensively, I'm just telling you, so you don't get frustrated and freak out and think that the defense at the beginning of the season is going to be the defense at the end of the season or even the middle of the season. They're going to have, if they don't have 8 rookies, they're at least going to have 4 or 5, because let's count them. Mikal Williams has had a very good camp, not like C.J. West, but he's had a very good camp. He's going to start at one end, and he's going to move inside on passing downs. I'm seeing him do both. He's still got some work to do, but you can see with the length and the athleticism and everything, he's going to be great. And Robert Saleh has said it. So there's one. Alfred Collins has taken a minute. I'm not going to lie to you. He's, again, exposing the chest, standing up. He's nearly 6'6". He gives me some flashbacks of Kinlaw, where he just stands up and he can manhandle you. But again, you stand up, expose your chest. Guards who are big in this league, 325, 330 pounds, are lower than you. They're just going to fork you, lift you out of there, no matter how big Alfred Collins is. And he is massive. And I've posted a bunch of videos that I took from camp, but he's going to take a minute. And he wasn't in OTAs. He had a little bit of an injury. Then he was out because he hadn't signed. So he's a little bit behind, and he's going to take a minute. So hopefully he progresses through camp and is going to become a major part. But for a minute, for right now, he's behind a little bit. C.J. West, on the other hand, is absolutely has been incredible. I mean, I don't think that's too strong of a word, and you've heard it from everybody. And again, I've posted a bunch of stuff on C.J. West. The defensive tackle, the rookie out of Indiana, has been absolutely great. And I think what's going to happen is on their pass rushing package, their turbo package, that's what they call their pass rushing package, Mikal Williams is going to move inside from end to tackle. Huff is going to be on that side. Next to him, I think, is going to be C.J. West, who can just right now it's just a bull rush, but who cares? He can push the pocket. And then it's going to be Bosa on the other end. Bosa's still going to see double teams, triple teams, chipping from the tight end and backs. But with hopefully that much talent next to him, they're going to at least have to think twice. And Huff, by the way, is a rocket off the edge. If he doesn't get hurt, he's going to get double-digit sacks like he did 2 years ago with the Jets. Last year, he was at the Eagles, miscast, injured, all that kind of stuff. He's back with Saleh, and I played videos. He doesn't talk a lot. He's kind of serious. He's built, and he is super fast off the edge. I mean, that's just all there is to it. He has a plan. He knows what he's doing, but he screams off the edge. He's not an edge setter. I don't know if they're going to play him. He's going to be anything but a pass rush specialist for the Niners, unless Mikal Williams just can't get it done and they have to put him there. But he's a little bit undersized, but man, does he rock it off the edge. And he and Bosa, and if West can be a pocket pusher like he's shown in camp, that defensive line is going to be fine. They've just got to be able to stop the run so that they can put the other team in passing situations. That would be my main concern. Jordan Elliott is still around. Kevin Givens is still around. They've got a number of guys. Evan Anderson has certainly shown flashes. He's a big guy inside. They've got to be able to stop the run. And like I said, early in camp or early in the season, they've got so much youth that they're going to have some issues. It's just going to happen. All right. Linebacker wise, I actually feel very, very good. Fred's Fred. We don't even have to talk about him. He's the best linebacker in the league. D Winners, I'm very encouraged by. He was around the ball a lot last year, but he didn't make plays. I think he's mature. Talk to him down there. He's had some podium sessions, or he's had one podium session. He just likes, like, you can just tell. There's when a guy is mature, when a guy is ready to break out. He's had a couple of interceptions in camp. He's around the ball constantly. I just think he's ready. And then the third linebacker, because they're going to be playing a lot of nickel and stuff like that, the third linebacker, not quite as important, but Luke Gifford from Tennessee has played a lot of that third linebacker. He's more of a special teams guy, so I don't love that. But Curtis Robinson is a guy that they like. He hasn't been in camp yet, but they just activated him, so we'll see. He's a little bit behind. And then, of course, there's Nick Martin. And there's nothing wrong with Nick Martin at all. Nick Martin is super fast. He's still figuring things out and thinking a little bit too much, so he's not maybe as fast to react as he is going to be at some point. And that's why I keep mentioning the, you know, early in the season kind of a thing. He'll get better and better mentally, which means physically he's going to get better because he's just going to be able to react and not think. He's built, and he's not small, but he's short, but he's also light. So he's maybe 6 foot, and he's 220 pounds. He does not look big standing next to the other linebackers, but he's super fast, which means, again, those big defensive linemen that they drafted, Collins, and they have Elliott and C.J. West and guys like that, are going to have to keep big offensive linemen like guards and centers from getting to the second level and picking him off, because if they do, he's going to get swallowed up. So he's a little bit behind. And as of this very moment, he's not the third linebacker on the field, but he's got plenty of time. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what he's doing. It's just that I would say that from a rookie perspective, and I'll get to the secondary in just a second, C.J. West has flashed, Mikel Williams, Collins a little bit behind, Martin, I'm not going to call him behind, but it's, you know, a little bit. But so that's what you're going to see from your rookies. And then from a secondary standpoint, the best player in the secondary for the 49ers consistently through camp, and this is why I'm saying 2 weeks, he could flash once or twice, and that's what Upton Stout, the third rounder from Western Kentucky in the nickel, was doing early in camp. But they were in shorts, and so it was like, okay, the guy's 5'8", 180. He's coming from a small college. What's he going to be able to do? Well, he was flashing every day in camp, and then all of a sudden they put pads on, and it reminds me, I've told you this before, Kaywan Williams. Undersized, but sticks his nose in there, plays bigger than his size. He's all of a sudden, he wears number 20, and it's like, there's number 20 again. There's number 20 again. There's number 20 again. It's incredibly early in camp, and unless he gets injured or something weird happens, we're only 2 weeks into the camp. He's the starting nickel, and it's almost like, I don't want to go too far, but like, you know, Warner's aligned, you know, Demo's starting, Warner's starting, Bosa's starting. It's I'm not saying it's quite to that level, but it's like nobody's really challenging him in the slot, and haven't so far. And every single day, Kyle's talked about him. Sala's talking about, I mean, this is unprompted, you know, when they're talking about the secondary. So this kid is going to be the starting nickel. Demo's out with a little bit of a hip. That's no big deal. Demo's going to be there. The biggest question in the secondary, there's two, I think. Got to get Renardo Green back. There is just not any depth there, or proven depth. Trey Brown, you might say, who came over from Seattle, but get this. There were 68 games in his career. He was there 4 years in Seattle from 21. 68 possible games, he played in 39. So Trey Brown's not a bad player. He just hasn't stayed healthy. So when you're talking about depth behind Renardo Green, who I think is going to take another step forward, the second-year player out of Florida State, which I talk about this all the time, it's more that the second-year player is going to step up, and you got to have the rookies do it, but it normally takes them a minute. Renardo Green can step up this year, but he's got to get back to camp. And just like Cowing, his hamstring injury, Kyle said that he's going to be back Raiders week, which is the week of August 16th when they go down to Vegas and they have the joint practices. So if he's back, they'll be okay. Eli Apple, who they signed, is not a long-term solution. Darrell Luter Jr., we keep hearing about him. Every time I see him, he's on the bad end of a deep ball that I'm seeing slow mode with one of the receivers going deep. He wears 28. I haven't seen him flash yet. There's a couple other rookies in there that may have an opportunity, but they don't have enough. They just don't have enough. So that's, you know, I'm looking at that going, please, Renardo Green, be healthy, because they just don't. And that's an overall theme with the team, and everybody knows this. They're very top-heavy, but so you can't have injuries. But the places that they really, really, really are thin, receiver, as we've talked about ad nauseum, and the defensive backs. I mean, that's just where it is. And then from a safety position, this is where I really think that John Lynch may go out along with receiver and get to a team that's going to waive somebody or something and say, hey, let us get him first. Get in the, you know, rather than having to fight somebody on a waiver wire, stay on the lines with people and say, hey, because you can, they're doing this right now in the front office. They know what they've got, but what they're doing is, this is what they do. They've got a board, okay, in John Lynch's office, and they know what team has got what. and they are targeting teams with receivers and defensive backs, both corners and safeties. And they're looking at them going, that team's stacked there, that team's stacked there, that team's stacked there. And they're doing, other teams are doing the same thing. Niners have certain positions that they're deep in, and teams are monitoring that. Will they let that guy go? Would they trade that guy? Whatever the case may be. And it reminds me, remember Tashaun Gibson a couple of years ago at the safety spot, and they got him late in camp, and he ended up being great. And, you know, really helping him. You know, the Super Bowl wasn't so great, but he ended up being a nice add. And the reason why, it was what I like to call an adult in the room. They need an adult in the room on the back end. It's not that I don't like Jason Pinnock, and Jair Brown is really maturing. And I love the press conference he had the other day. And he really sounds like he's ready to put a tough year or two because of injuries behind him. So I'll trust Jair Brown for now, but until Malik Mustafa comes back, I don't love the other safety position, and I'd love it if they could pick somebody up, especially a veteran on the back end, because, again, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but there is no safety net behind a safety or a defensive back. You're going to give up a big play, Justin Jefferson. So it's, you can't have that. So I think they'll pick somebody up within the secondary. So that's what I think as far as that goes. Questions, comments, thoughts, by the way. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but I just wanted to go through what I think I know through 2 weeks. And then as far as kicking is concerned, and I hate talking about kicking because you're going to leave me if I talk about it too much, but it's Jake Moody versus Greg Joseph. I'm not a huge Greg Joseph fan. He's jumped all over the league. Jake Moody has a bigger leg than him, and I know it's shocking you that I'm defending Jake Moody to a certain extent. The problem with Moody is not physical. He cut down he changed his kicking. He's got a two-step, and he's missed a couple in team periods. Greg Joseph has been more consistent, but people aren't thinking about this. With all their special teams issues, kicking the ball out of the end zone is a big deal, and Moody's got a stronger leg, so we'll see. But even if Moody misses a kick in the preseason, all that mental work that he did in the offseason, down the tubes. So I'd like Moody to win it, almost to justify that third-round pick, even though I hated it and screamed the moment that it was done, and it's on. All you got to do is look it up. I screamed and yelled no when they did it, and I was right next to the Niners draft room, and they were like, bro. But, you know, it would be best if he did, because he's got the strongest leg. But there, it is a true competition, and I think if he struggles in preseason, Kyle's had enough. So it is a true competition. So there you go. Injuries, offense, defense, kicking. Any questions, comments, or thoughts? Did I miss anybody or anything? Like I said, guys like McCaffrey, Warner, Kittle, even Brock is in this category to me. I know I didn't talk a lot about them, but they're money in the bank, those guys. And I'm not here to debate anybody's list or top tens on Brock. Brock's going to have a bounce back year. Trust me. He did a lot of work. He looks really good in camp, and I think he's going to be good. Now, is there an issue with the receivers? There is. So we shall see on that. So give me your thoughts. I'll get into Parsons in just a second when I talk about traded question mark. That's what I'm going to talk about with McLaurin and Parsons in just a second. But if you have a question, comment, or thought, let me see. Do I have any video here on football? I guess I don't. Let's see here. Any questions, comments, thoughts on camp? That is just my 2 weeks. And again, I like doing that because day by day by day, we're just trying to you know, fill up social media for you. But a couple of weeks, now there's some trends going on. So I wanted to give that to you. And again, if you want to, what I just said basically is in written form at johnlundunleashed.com. If you want to check that out, there it is right there, johnlundunleashed.com. What I think I know 2 weeks into training camp, and that's at johnlundunleashed.com. And like I said, I'll be writing more. But if you want to kind of read what I just said, essentially, there it is right there. So there you go. And I think I did it. Big picture, kicking, secondary, veterans stepping up, stars are still stars, rookies turning heads, and injuries. So there you go. I just basically said that, but if you would like to read it, you are more than welcome to at johnlundunleashed.com. Let's see. What else do we have here? Am I doing what now? Are you? Yeah, why not, man? I got nothing going on tonight. I do it. Absolutely. What's going on? Yeah, everybody have Pop in your thoughts. I started with Papa today, as you can see at the top of the chalkboard, and gave you a little bit of an update. Like I said, I texted him, and he said to me, I'll be fine. So that's what we're going with. Looks like I'm not up to date. Please let him know if he has anything to do with his liver. He has another. Yeah, he's going to be fine. I'm telling you, just knowing him, he will spare no expense, and nor will anybody else as far as his the people around him are concerned. I promise you. I promise you that he has the best care. There is no question about it. He will have the best care. I promise you that. Gee, thank you, Papa Jay. That is a very nice thing to say over now, like parents and Papa. Yeah, all I'm saying is that we're kind of forced to do that. I don't want to throw anybody else under the bus. We're kind of just forced to do it because there is such a hunger every day for information. And so what we do is, like I said, the crowd roars from this one end zone, right? All the season ticket holders that go to the practices, and we all scramble. Now, what a great play. Like Upton Stout came over the top and knocked the ball away from Ricky Pearsall. It was a great play, but we all scrambled and, you know, made him the greatest player. Or there was a deep ball to Watkins, or, all this kind of stuff. Or McCaffrey made a great catch. You know, we all just scrambled to do all that kind of stuff. And like I said, I'm not ripping it because there is an insatiable thirst for this information. And so every single day we have these 49ers creators, and I'm one of them, that goes out there and tells you what happened that day. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you take a couple of weeks, now you know. For example, Bosa's having a great camp. Not just one day. Bosa seems, even for Bosa, extremely motivated to say, okay, you don't think I'm one of the best? You're taking me out of top five lists of edge rushers? You're calling me number 57 out of the top 100? I got something for you. That's happening in camp. D. Winters is legit. Upton Stout is legit. The wide receiver injuries are a major concern. Brock looks great. McCaffrey's health, not a problem. You know, these are things that are absolutely legit things, and are not just a catch here, a catch there, a run here, a run there, a tackle, a play. Those are the reoccurring themes over and over and over again in camp. And then every other thing, it's like we got to be like, oh, this guy made a play, that guy made a play. You know, if I had to give a camp MVP, which I don't, I would just say, because I was really, I guess this is just from my perspective, if I had to give one, I would just say Upton Stout, only because when they took him in the third round, I'm like, I would have loved a big outside corner so that then they could move Demo in the slot, because I think D'Amador Lenore, his best position is in the slot. It's kind of like what Seattle does with Devin Witherspoon, where they bring Witherspoon in there and he's got more of a direct line to the quarterback. So he comes in, makes great plays against the run. He can blitz the quarterback. He just has great movement. The slot is the toughest to play because you have to be so quick and you have to be physical. You have to come up and tackle, and it's a tough position to play. So I just thought outside, bigger outside corner, which they lack on this team anyway, and have Demo go into the slot, and then especially in this division, and that would be the best way to go. And so when they took Stout at 5'8", 185 out of Western Kentucky, I went, oh, man, this kid better be able to play from day one, and he has been. And he's made plays every single day. So I like that, because think about this. In the slot in this division, Cooper Kupp's going to play it in Seattle. Smith and Jigba's going to play it in Seattle. They'll rotate. They're two totally different kind of players. And so if you're in the slot, it's going to be tough. They're going to look at Upton Stout at 5'8". Teams are going to put big guys in the slot. Puka Nacua can play in the slot. He's very physical. They'll do that. They'll throw him in there and go, oh, can you cover this guy? You know, it's just going to be, you know, Arizona's got those kind of guys. They used Marvin Harrison in the slot sometimes last year. Think about how big and physical he is, and he's even bigger. They're going to do that. He's going to see a quick guy, a big guy. They're going to look at him and just say, we can take advantage of this guy. Every team is going to try it. In this division, who they play, that's what it's going to be. Oh, you got a rookie 5'8 guy in the slot? All right. And he's looked up to it. Now, I don't know what happens in the regular season. There's a big difference between camp and preseason. And preseason to regular season, and regular season to playoffs, and playoffs to Super Bowl. There's a step up every single time. And so he looks like he's passing the first test, which is shorts, pads, pads, preseason, preseason, regular season, et cetera. And it goes up and up and up. So far, so good. I've just liked what I've seen from him. Offensively, it'd be probably too easy to say Brock. I'd say DeMarcus Robinson. I know it sounds crazy. You're like, he's on the Chiefs. I didn't think much of him. He's on the Rams. I didn't think much of him. He has a smooth glide about him. He's really easy. He plucks everything out of the air. You know, I think he's going to have a good year. Once he gets back, you know, everybody's saying 2-game suspension. But once he gets back from that, I think he's going to be a really underrated piece for the 49ers. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. So there you go. Injuries, offense, defense, kicking. And that is what I think I know 2 weeks into 49ers training camp. All right, as far as trade it is concerned, and if you've got any thoughts, by the way, on 49ers training camp, you can disagree, agree. If you got any questions about anybody else that I did not mention, just hit me up right underneath the show right here. If you're watching it later, hit me up, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. If you're watching on X today, I'd love it if you came over to YouTube, John Lund Unleashed. But if not, hit me up on X, at John Lund Radio. I will always get back to your comments there as well. So any questions, comments, thoughts on Niners training camp so far, just hit me up. Traded, question mark, on the chalkboard there. The reason I set that up is everybody freaks out. This is just another social media trap that all of us fall into, and I certainly do as well. But with social media now comes a strategy that both players and agents use to get a new contract. Micah Parsons doesn't want to go anywhere. Terry McLaurin doesn't want to go anywhere. Terry McLaurin, the Commanders just got good. They have a second-year quarterback in Jade McDaniels that many think is on the verge of stardom. Why the hell would the guy who went through Daniel Snyder's years and all the crap that they've done there all of a sudden want to leave town? He doesn't want to. But there's a checklist. And the checklist is other players get paid, you bitch and moan, you go through social media, you take all your team's social media stuff off your social media stuff. Your agent goes back and forth. If they tell you no or it's not a good contract, then you ask for a trade. It's kind of trade 101 or bitch and moan 101. In every single sport, it happens. Now, in the NBA, guys, I've told you this before, guys in the NBA seem to have more power than anybody else. Not a restricted free agent like Jonathan Kuminga, but superstar players, if they want out, they generally get out. In the NFL, it doesn't work that way. They're not going to give away superstars, and it's just too hard. You've got it. Now you're going to give McLaurin a new contract, and you've got to do this, and everybody's salary structures are already set. It's really hard. So for people, let me just take McLaurin first, because people think that the 49ers might want to trade for him. You got to just use a little bit of logic. I know they're desperate for wide receivers, but who are you going to trade? An injured Brandon Ayuk? Well, he and McDaniels played together at Arizona State. Wonderful. Does the front office care? He's going to miss the first four games. They don't want that. You don't even know if he's going to be ready then. Plus, if you're the 49ers, you're already eating the most salary for players to not play for you this season in the league. And if you trade Ayuk, you're going to be eating a ton more. So it really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, oh, after that, you're going to have to negotiate a brand new contract with Terry McLaurin. You just did that with Brandon Ayuk. You just got rid of Deebo Samuel because he was making over $20 million. You don't want to allocate that kind of money to the room. And oh, by the way, when and if Juwan Jennings gets over this whole cap thing, he wants to get paid. They're not going to get back into that whole situation. Deebo gets paid, Ayuk gets paid. My God, they just got out of that. You think they want to do that with McLaurin and Jennings at the same time? No, they don't. So that's not happening. And as far as Micah Parsons is concerned, and he puts out this whole big thing, what does Jerry Jones always do? He cares about publicity more than he does winning. I work there. I know. He wants publicity. Good publicity, bad publicity. There is no bad publicity in Jerry Jones' world. Just talk about the Cowboys. Have you ever been to their training camp? Have you ever seen it? It's all, they go down to Oxnard. They used to go down to San Antonio. That was too boring. Nobody wanted to go to San Antonio. You weren't on everybody's mind. He's in Southern California. They have all these sponsors, cameras. They have fans. They don't care. You can shoot all their camp. They want you to put all their stuff out on social media constantly. There's hardly any rules down there. They just want it constant. They want to bring in other teams, and they just want to make it like a circus. Well, Jerry Jones, what happened last year? Paid CeeDee Lamb at the last minute. Paid Dak Prescott at the last minute. They would rather have you talking about them, even if it's a negative, than he would not talking about them at all. That's just how he is. He doesn't want that first game to be all talked about, the Eagles and the Super Bowl. It's all about Cowboys, Cowboys. What is ESPN doing right now? Leading with every single fucking day. Cowboys, Micah, contract, Jerry. That's what he likes, man. I know it. I lived it. That's what he likes. He would, if you ask Jerry Jones, I'll give you the next two Super Bowls, or you can have 5 years of being the number one story on all the ESPN shows and all the talking head shows, and everybody's talking about the Cowboys 24/7, and you can get more publicity than you could ever swallow. He would say, give me the publicity. That's who he is. That's what he likes. So he wants you to talk about the Cowboys. They'll get the deal done. Plus, when guys ask for trades, let's think about it. Debo asked for a trade, didn't get traded. Ayuk asked for a trade, didn't get traded. Remember Myles Garrett had this big thing, this big release. You know what? I love Cleveland, and Cleveland is great, and someday I'll be in Canton, but you know what? It's just not the right place for me anymore. I want to win. What did Cleveland do? Stepped up, paid him $40 million. Where's Myles Garrett now? I forgot. Oh, he's in Cleveland. Trey Hendrickson, I want to be traded from the Bengals. Where's he? He's slated to make $16 million this year in a market that pays edge rushers $40 million. Garrett got paid. T.J. Watt got paid. You know, there was grumbling about T.J. Watt. But, you know, there was odds. Where's T.J. Watt's next team? Pittsburgh. That's where he stayed. These guys get signed. It's just that it's, you know, it's a pain in the ass, and you got to go through the process. You got to bitch and moan. Your agent's got to scream and yell. You got to get mad on social media. You got to formally ask for a trade. You got to take everything off your social media of that team. And then they just stay where they are. So you can watch all the odds that you want to watch. You can go to the, you know, Bovada, and here's so-and-so's at next team. It's just clickbait porn. That's all it is. You know, Micah Parsons is going to play for the Cowboys. Terry McLaurin's going to play for the Commanders. That's just what's going to happen. Washington knows they have to pay him. They have a new owner. There's a process to it. These guys are businessmen. You know, they have a lot of money, but you know what? They don't just throw it around. That's how they got their money. They don't just throw it around. So that's what's going to happen. They're going to get Terry McLaurin done, and they're going to get Micah Parsons done. And you know what? And they're going to get Micah Parsons done probably right, I don't know, the week the season starts, because that's what Jerry does. So we'll see. I could be wrong. Guys get traded sometimes. Khalil Mack got traded when John Gruden said, yeah, I can't have a quarterback and a defensive end making $20 million. Edge is making $40 million now, 10 years later, and a quarterback is making $60. So it just keeps on going. So if you don't want to pay the going rate for what a top 10 wide receiver or McLaurin, top 12, whatever he is, then somebody will. And if you don't want to pay Micah Parsons, then teams will line up. But it's difficult to do. Because now all these teams who pretty much at this point of the season have their salary structures made, they're going, what do we do here? You know, and they have to blow those salary structures up and all that. And I realize the cap is a living, breathing organism that is movable and doable, and you can restructure contracts and everything like that. But I don't see Jerry Jones trading Micah Parsons. He signed CeeDee Lamb late. He signed Dak late. That's just what he likes to do. He likes elongating the process so everybody talks about him. It's weird, but that's what he does. So, yeah, there you go. Look at Tim. Grinding Jesus Rodriguez tape. He'll be here soon enough. He was the one guy that out of that Yankees trade that I think is going to be up here at some point. So there you go. All right, there you go as far as traded is concerned. So episode 210, talked about Papa at the beginning. Robbie Ray was great. New places, not so good for Duvall, very good for Yaz. What I think I know about the 49ers 2 weeks into training camp, injuries, offense, defense, kicking, we got into that. You can read all about it at johnlundunleashed.com. I just went on the tirade about traded. That's where we are right now. Do I have anything that I need to get to you? Okay, let's do this. You're asking yourself, 8 hours of screaming, what does that mean on the chalkboard? Well, here's what it means. I don't know if you saw this, and I've already gone on a tirade about what I think is the future of inside the NBA, and I think for a couple of years it's going to be fine, but when Charles Barkley retires and he says it's going to be in 2 years, then they're going to ESPNize that show, and it's going to be unwatchable, and I'm scared for that. But you know what? I don't have to watch it if I don't want to, but here's where things get sticky for ESPN. Because they ESPNize everything. I worked there for 10 years. It's just what they do. They can't help it. They've got egotistical management who can't keep their hands off things, and they always got to change things and put their mark on it. So whether you like Scott Hansen, whether you liked our good friend Anthony, I can see his face in his ears, but I'm blanking on his name. But anyway, ESPN Red Zone is amazing. Everybody loves it. You got to watch it. If you're home, and I've been covering the NFL for many years, so I'm not always home, but I love watching it. If I get the Sunday off, I'm not watching all the games. I'm watching Red Zone. That's just what you do. You just, it's red zone, red zone, red zone, red zone. And please, they do such a great job. And there is no time for personality, ESPN. It's boom, 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 boom. Somebody's in the red zone. Let's go. Right? Somebody's in the red zone. Just it's not a hard concept other than you got to move, man. You got to be quick. It's not about you. It's not about your personality. It's not about somebody screaming and yelling. You got to go, 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 go. I'm sure in the ear of like Scott Hansen, the producer is like, boom, by the way, now we're going here. Now we're going to LA. Now we're going to New York. Now we're going to Chicago. Now we're at Atlanta. Da, 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 da. And they're explaining the situation to him quickly. And that camera is moving. Oh, we got a quad box. I mean, it's awesome. It is awesome. Now it's going to ESPN. So I saw this yesterday and I please to God, no. Please to God, no. But you know what? Everybody thinks to themselves, well, they won't do that. Well, he's on everything else. Why wouldn't he be on that? Or McAfee or somebody like that? Like, no, this is not a personality-driven show. I don't need to see him because you know what? Here's what's great about Screamin' A to me. I don't have to watch him. I don't watch any of those daytime shows. If he's on pre-half and post for the NBA, I choose not to watch it. I just watch the game. You know, like if he was an analyst on an NBA basketball game, which, hell, they might do that. You know, then I would be disappointed because I'd have to turn it down. But Red Zone, I just want to watch Scott Hansen, man. Please, no. Please don't do this. And ESPN might. You might laugh at something like that. They might do it. They might put him there. They might put McAfee there. And they all just sit and bullshit and talk over the highlights, and we never see any touchdowns whatsoever. If Screamin' A was on Red Zone, we wouldn't see any touchdowns. Remember, they're like, we show every touchdown every Sunday. We would see no touchdowns because he would just be talking and yelling and gibberish, and he doesn't know anything about anything. Anyway, that's probably not going to happen, but man, can you imagine if it did? Or even if he was a guest. Let's just put Screamin' A in for a second. No. Like, put him in, do all you want during the day. I don't watch that stuff. You know, I never see him. I don't need to. I choose not to. Please, not 8 hours of Screamin' A and zero touchdowns. I like all the touchdowns and 8 hours of Scott Hansen or whoever. So there you go. Andrew Siciliano. How could I forget Andrew Siciliano's name? He was one of the best friends of our show at KNBR. I guess it's a Saturday morning and I haven't had enough coffee. My God, I'm so embarrassed. Anthony Siciliano is one of our great friends. He would come on with Papa and I every couple of weeks, and he's just the best. Personally, I was a Siciliano guy. Personally, I was. But Scott Hansen's not bad. So just give me one of those two and I'm fine. But please, please, ESPN, please don't ESPNize this show. Please. I'm begging of you. Begging of you. Anyway, there you go. All right. We usually do a tight hour, a little over that today, but we did have a lot to do. But we have a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol that is solid. Let me make sure that I have hit everything that we wanted to do today. Papa, Ray, new places, what I think, injuries, offense, defense, kicking 2 weeks into camp, traded. I don't think McLaurin or Parsons will go anywhere. 8 hours of script a day, please no. And it is time now for your sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol. Oh, come on.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
The old Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John. Here's John.
All right, you may have seen this. We did this. Actually, I should have had the original because that was even funnier. But the other night during a Valkyries game on the road against Atlanta, a gigantic lime green dildo was thrown on the floor, and the commentators were just beside themselves. Oh, that's outrageous. And it was pretty funny. And then, like, they had a police officer and they like wrapped it up in some kind of a cloth and they were kind of laughing as they ran it off the floor. And there's women behind the coach going, ha ha. So anyway, the Valkyries ended up winning that game. And so they're 1-0 if a green lime green dildo is thrown onto the floor. And now last night in Chicago against the Sky, same thing happened.
Got a whistle away from the basketball.
There you go. And I wonder if you like the new logo, but there you go. Valkyries, another dildo on the floor. And the great thing is they are now 2-0 when lime green dildos are thrown onto the floor. So the greatest record of all time in WNBA history is when a green dildo is thrown onto the floor when the Valkyries are playing. They're 2-0, beating Atlanta and Chicago. So there you go. The dildo lives on. And I wonder if that will continue or if security will be like, okay, look, when the Valkyries play, we need to have better security. But anyway, 2-0 when dildos are thrown on the floor during a Valkyries game. And then finally, I think this happened to like Wednesday or Thursday, and I meant to play this earlier, but we were in serious mode yesterday. So I don't know if you saw this. President Trump was trying to pronounce Tua Tagovailoa, the Miami Dolphins quarterback, and just a bit outside.
It's on the council. And Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is.
I mean, seriously, that's like Barkley's, you know, Valanciunas, or I mean, what's the worst one ever? I don't know what the worst pronunciation, possible pronunciation of a game, of a player is. That's pretty close.
So on the council, and Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback who is really, he's been fantastic.
Togo Vole Lalia. Yeah, that was close. Really, really, really close, but not so much. Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa. It's difficult. I don't know if you've ever, because I've had to do sidelines for a BYU Utah football game with all the Tongan players. It is not easy. And you sit in front of a mirror for hours at a time and try to pronounce names. And then when it won, you know, I'm on the sidelines, so I can like prepare for it. But like, let's say a guy, you know, in the defensive back with a really difficult name to pronounce picks off a pass and goes for a pick six. Like, you're the announcer. You got to yell the name right away. You don't have time to think. And maybe sometimes that's better, but it is not easy. Sometimes it, believe me, you're like, oh no, please. Like when Michael Hulahanawani made a play and Ted Robinson just nailed it. Like, man, not easy. Maybe Jason Witten was the worst. Witten was trying to say, what was it? He was like, Ebukam, Ebuwa, that might have been the worst one. That might have been the worst one. That was unbelievable. Right on Monday Night Football. So there you go. Anyway, it was very difficult. Chef says, hey, maybe the Giants. Yeah, get a bright orange one, maybe. Maybe a bright orange one. Let's see. Yeah, purple. Yeah, you would think it would be purple. That is their colors, but I took the liberty of making it. Let me see if I can put this back again. I took the liberty of making them a green logo. Hope you like the new change I made to their logo. Watch him kick it. Get that out of here. Kick it. Yeah, there you go. Kick it out of here. Get it out of here. I'm not going to touch that thing. I don't know where it's been. So anyway, there you go. 2 in a row. 2-0. 2-0 when that object, phallic object, hits the floor. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't tell. It wasn't close enough. Although the first one, they showed the close-up of it, and that was pretty funny because they didn't know what it was. That was really funny. Like the first time that they in Atlanta a few days ago when they did it, they're like, we don't know. We just saw it come, you know, because there was a much better angle of it. And you could just see it flying onto the floor, and it was a black court. And it was neon green, so you could see that thing flying across in the broadcast. They're like, we don't know what that is. What is that? And then they zoomed in on it. It was kind of under the table, and they zoomed in on it. And both the broadcasters were like, oh, what is that? That was great. Anyway, 2-0, bro. So there you go. I don't think so. I don't block anybody. You know that. Like I said, I don't block anybody. So I'm sure it's in there. Let me check. I'll check on it today. All right. I think that is it for today on a Saturday. Like I said, we just do a tight one on Saturday and see. Yeah, I'll get Tim. If I do get Tim, I'll tell you this. He's not going to want to talk about Greg. We'll just talk about some camp. I've seen Tim out there a number of times in camp, and we've conversed. So he's the greatest. And yeah, Tim's awesome. What's up, bro? What's up, bro? You got some maiden for me, bro? He's the best. So anyway, he's great. All right. I think that is it for today. My wife said, that's so rude. They don't do it in the NBA. Well, remember they did it in Buffalo though. It's not sexist. Remember in Buffalo, they did that for a long time. They threw the dildos into the end zone. And so, I mean, you know, it's been done, and I don't know. it's probably going to keep going. I mean, they're 2-0. If I'm the coach, I'm kind of like, yeah, but still we're 2-0. I mean, look, everybody's superstitious. It's like we're 2-0 when a green dildo hits the floor. Like, give it to somebody. Here you go. Get that in there and throw it. Plus, does anybody say anything? Like if you're sitting next to somebody and they all of a sudden, cock and fire, no pun intended, chuck that thing on there and the security's like, where'd that come from? I'm not saying anything. Yeah, I'm staying out of it. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you very much for watching us for episode 210 on this Saturday. I hope you have an amazing weekend. I do have a few more things that I'm going to send out today, so please get those alerts on, whether you're at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube or you're watching on X today at John Lund Radio. Any questions, comments, thoughts, it could be Niners-related, Giants-related, whatever the case, put them right here underneath the show. On John Lund Unleashed on YouTube, or hit me up on X. I'm always over on X at John Lund Radio. You can do that as well. And before you get out of here, please, if you really would, it's very important to hit the like button before you get out of here so that the algorithm will pick us up and grow our fine community. Get those alerts on and subscribe to John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. If anything happens or breaks during the day, we will be here. So keep those alerts on and everybody have a great rest of your Saturday. And the last thing I'll tell you, JohnLundUnleashed.com. I have the full Mike Pereira interview up there as well. Plus, I have a part that I cut out that's about 5 minutes where we just talk about Tom Brady, because remember, he was in the booth all season with Brady and just how he progressed throughout the year, and that's an interesting part of the conversation. I have, like I said, what I think I know 2 weeks into Niners camp, the written version of that. Plus, I have a discussion about the trade deadline and the Giants up there as well, all at JohnLundUnleashed.com. Plus, archives of the YouTube show, archives of the podcast. What else do we have on there? We have merchandise, social media links, all those things at JohnLundUnleashed.com. Thanks for watching today for episode 210, and have a great rest of your
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at JohnLundUnleashed.com. JohnLundUnleashed.com.
Goodbye!